One of today's strong delusions is that we can redefine truth, replace God, and call evil good. We'll talk about that.
It is a delusion to replace God. And of course, calling evil good, that's really the culture we're living in, and most of us are very familiar with that. We're talking now about Christian families. We can't just say that's the world that doesn't believe in God. It used to be that after 1 year of college at a secular university, a child or a young person that was raised in a Christian home abandoned their faith. But now that by the time they're in high school, or at least junior high school, they're starting to abandon their faith.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, Jan is joined by co-host Eric Barger as they meet with David Ferrazzo. David is an author, public speaker, content contributor, and co-host of the daily radio talk show Stand Up for the Truth. David's recent book, Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good, forms the foundation for today's discussion. Later in this broadcast, Jan Markell will share her thoughts on things she believes she would never see. Now to get us started, here is Jan Markell.
And today we hear so much about diversity, multiculturalism, same-sex marriage, tolerance. Well, these probably are the part of the new Ten Commandments, at least for today's leftists. So when I heard about a new book that was going to come out, and I heard about it some time ago, and actually contributed just a very short paragraph of testimony to the author, at least. And I want to read from an opening paragraph in the book, which I have now in front of me, and it's called Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good. Author David Fiorazzo says this. He says, truth has never been so assaulted, avoided, denied, downplayed, hated, ignored, reinterpreted, redefined, and suppressed to the point it is today. At the same time, in this fast-paced, informative age of mass communication, technological advancement, scientific discoveries, and breaking news, people seem to be less informed, less secure, more distracted, more agitated, and more confused about what is truth than ever before. Why? And David Fiorazzo goes on to say, it starts with rejecting the one true God. Well, my co-host has joined me for this program, Eric Barger, and thank you, Eric, for swinging by the studio. And you have a short testimonial inside this book as well.
I do. Yeah. I'm pleased to advance David's cause, and I believe in what he says, and he's been a solid researcher and a good brother.
David Fiorazzo, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Well, thank you both so very much for having me. Looking forward to the conversation.
Well, David, you say, truth is being redefined, and that should be expected at a time when we are, quite frankly, an Isaiah 5:20 generation. Evil is good. Good is called evil. And you say this, I'm quoting you here. You say, children are conditioned to deny truth and dismiss God, the Bible, and eternal things. And if their parents are not strong Christians, guess what? Many of those kids will sadly be too far gone by high school because their minds will be pretty much closed to the truth about biblical morality. And if they go off to college, well, forget it. And that you suggest that one person's worldview is established at that time. But David, what would you expect in an Isaiah 5:20 generation, which we are today? Again, you state it, so do I. Good is called evil, evil's called good.
Yes, and absolutely, the subtitle of the book, Delusions, it is a delusion to replace God. And of course, calling evil good, that's really the culture we're living in, and most of us are very familiar with that, and the shows you do, and the research I've done, and what Eric does. And I appreciate your ministries very much. But getting back to the kids, children, and we're talking now about Christian families. We can't just say that's the world that doesn't believe in God. It used to be that after 1 year of college at a secular university, a child or a young person that was raised in a Christian home abandoned their faith. But now we have to come to terms with the fact that trends and research show or seem to indicate that by the time they're in high school, or at least junior high school, they're starting to abandon their faith. Why? Because in middle school, they're starting to doubt what they were told at home or what they hear on Sunday morning, maybe at Bible school. One of the reasons that this is our education system, yeah. which for years and many years, decades, has been redefining the truth, and it's now in our textbooks that have been rewritten. History has been rewritten. What is the main problem? One of the main problems is life itself, the creation. The debate now is, first of all, is there a God? Second of all, how did we human beings get here? So now, of course, what's been redefined is sex. Now it's not binary or biological. Now it's gender, right? But kids at younger and younger ages are being taught this and indoctrinated in the public school system. So first, Christian parents have to recognize that part of it. Yep. That kids, and these kids grow up with a very different worldview that is no longer Christian, believing the inerrancy of Scripture and the essentials of the faith. Now they get out in the world and they're going to be bombarded. So I don't have a lot of happy, positive solutions about this, but parents I know have a tough job ahead of them. It's not impossible, because I know there's some good, strong Christian kids out there influencing the culture and the Christian groups in colleges and universities. And so there are some, but boy, we've got to work extra hard knowing the enemy has really ramped things up in these last days.
Okay, well, let's just consider for a minute what is against us. Working against Christians, working against conservatives, working against righteousness, working against godliness. We've got working against us Facebook, Twitter, Google, YouTube, the liberal media, Hollywood, George Soros, everybody, every political person on the left. And then we've got damage from 8 years, I'm going to say it, 8 years of the Barack Obama administration. I mean, he promised to fundamentally transform America. Quite frankly, I think he fundamentally transformed the entire world. He put in place, at least in America, he put in place people who represented a far left perspective on everything. Part of the left who they discourage patriotism, they discourage family values, Christianity, and a whole lot more. And then Nancy Pelosi is saying that the left has an agenda to change America and that they have won in the court of public opinion. That's a quote from your book. And can you explain what you mean?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for bringing that up.
All right.
That's in a chapter called Lies of the Left.
Yeah, it is.
Pelosi Politics. And basically what happened, and she didn't have to do this. She held a press conference. So now the left is openly boasting about this. April 2016, Pelosi came out and admitted what many of us already knew. They had an agenda to transform America all along. In this press conference, which was for the Equality Act, or so-called Equality Act, Pelosi said we had four points we wanted to accomplish. It was a four-legged stool. Pass fully inclusive hate crimes legislation. Another piece of it was to promote marriage equality in our country. And now listen to what she said. Legislatively, we couldn't really succeed, but from the courts and the rest, and public opinion, of course, the actual courts, and in the court of public opinion, that victory has been won. Let's look at this real quick, just for a minute. Why would she say, of course, like everybody knows that? Because the left has been successful at indoctrination, which we mentioned earlier, changing public opinion. That, of course, the media plays a part in that, school system plays a part in that, Hollywood plays a huge role in that.
Yep.
So they came to the point, well, the voters have voted to protect marriage, what are we going to do now? Well, let's get the courts, let's get these appointments in the leftists into the courts. So that's what she meant. In the courts and in the court of public opinion, the victory has been won. And I have to agree with her, but I'm thankful she came out and admitted their goal was to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the Defense of Marriage Act. And now the most recent one that we're seeing come to fruition, unfortunately, is ENDA, E-N-D-A, the mm-hmm. Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And Jan and Eric right here in this little town that the radio station I work at is in De Pere, Wisconsin, they passed a non-discrimination ordinance with sweeping implications. It was so broad, and there are no protections for Christians or for nonprofits. So we could be sued if we do not hire a transgender or, okay. you know, the list goes on and on. So these are concerning times, but this all goes back to the agenda that the left had,
yep.
and now they're being open about it.
Yeah, and you say, David, I'm quoting you, the left is using atheists, communists, socialists, and LGBTQ proponents to blot out God, normalize homosexuality, lie about life in the womb, and undermine natural marriage, tear apart the traditional family, create as much chaos chaos as possible and will promote lies instead of truth. And if you just join me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Wisconsin, David Fiorazzo, picked up his newest book. He actually sent it to me, Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good. Eric?
You know, I don't want to backtrack too far, but the whole thing about the teenagers and the way they're being assaulted in schools can't be overstated. When you think about that, they are, I mean, they're the leaders of tomorrow. In the next 10 years, the kids are in high school today. Many of them are going to be in positions to be able to really influence culture. If our teens are not able to defend their faith by the time they get into their teenage years, in other words, we've got to be training them early. And I realize how unpopular this is to do this in public, and it attracts name-calling and hatred and even worse. But it's happening all around us. And what David pointed out about kids going off to university and coming home a year later, now, sadly, many of them go to Christian university and come home
yes.
in a few months with the same story that they don't believe there's a God. In fact, 2 weekends ago, and I won't belabor this, I had a father come to my book table at a church I was speaking in and tell me the story of his son going off to a Christian university and coming home claiming there was no God. An hour later, a grandfather came to my table and began to tell a story. And I said, your son must be here. I just talked to him an hour ago. He said, no, my son's not here. He was telling me the exact same story an hour later about his grandson. We've got to be training our kids early.
I wanted to just mention something. First of all, earlier you said that, you know, we've got to be concerned about kids that are not equipped to defend their faith, you know, and be able to give an answer for the hope that they have. Well, we need to address that problem, but we also need to address the problem of adults not being able to defend mm-hmm. their faith and give a reason for the hope that we have. I want to get back to Amen. The redefinition of truth and how that affects children in our public school system. Their true identity, which is a word that's being thrown around a lot these days, identity. Think about this. Back to the theory of evolution and the faith of atheism and humanism being taught in public schools, while the fact of creation and intelligent design rarely are offered as alternatives. Now, it's intolerant, is it not, of educators to not present, at least present both sides on such an important subject. Imagine for a moment if children were taught that they are made in the image of a loving God who created them unique and special with purpose for their lives, rather than being taught that they're random cosmic accidents and evolved in the image of animals, mm-hmm. or there's no future hope. That is why our identity in Christ is so very important, but it's neglected, and especially now with the promotion of transgenderism at younger and younger ages. I got a phone call from a concerned mom. She had a six-year-old. This is in the introduction to my book. She had a six-year-old daughter going to school, and I won't repeat the word. Here's a six-year-old coming home saying these words that most adults don't feel comfortable saying. But basically, this mom said, I've been struggling, and my daughter came home and said, there's a girl in her class that's going to be a boy. She's going to take medicine. The kids are calling her by her boy name. And she just took a step back and said, she can't believe this is happening in a small town here. And she pulled her daughter out and put it in a private school. But this is happening all across the country, and we need to be informed and aware and in prayer about these things.
David, here's your friend, Dr. Duke Pesta. He's talking to a fellow by the name of Alex Newman. And in a minute, 20 seconds, they sum up what you're talking about.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Duke. Welcome to The Takeaway. I am back together again with our good friend, Alex Newman. Alex, it seems like we're a broken record here. The latest outrage in California about little kids and gender. Talk about this survey from UCLA.
Well, thanks very much, Duke. Basically, the UCLA, it was, a partnership between some think tank at their School of Law and some public health institute over at UCLA. They did a study where they asked about 1,600 kids about their gender stuff on some sort of survey. And what they came up with was that more than one-fourth of these kids are gender non-conforming. And that can mean that either they look like boys when they're really girls, they dress like boys when they're really girls, or vice versa, they might be androgynous, where they don't identify as either masculine or feminine. They're kind of asexual, something in between. And so they found that more than one-fourth of California kids between 12 and 17 fall into this non-conforming category. And then from that, they conclude that we need more brainwashing, more propaganda from the government to further normalize and further the acceptance of this gender confusion and this gender ideology, that California has taken the lead in and pushing.
And then, David, as you say in your book, and I'll tell folks how they can get a hold of it in just a minute, that the NEA is agenda-driven and will go along with what we would consider, and here are the words you use, David Fiorazzo, you use would consider insanity and absurdity. The NEA is agenda-driven and will go along with what we would consider insanity and absurdity. So these kids really don't stand a chance.
Yes, and they're being raised in a system that promotes moral relativism. For years and years, it has promoted promiscuity, sexual experimentation. But just today, I read a story in a Wisconsin school district that paid a transgender student $800,000 to settle a lawsuit in an attempt to share bathrooms and overnight sleeping quarters with male high school students. Now, this is concerning. Why? Because it already was a problem that the indoctrination was so bad and the political correctness was so bad and the anti-Christian sentiment was so bad in government schools. But now there's schools that maybe weren't that agenda-driven that are concerned about lawsuits. So we've got a huge problem on our hands. We've got to start raising more awareness about what the truth is.
Okay, again, the name of the book is Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good. Find it at Amazon.com. You can find a lot more information at David Fiorazzo's website, DavidFiorazzo.com. DavidFiorazzo.com. Eric Barger in studio with me. And, you know, instead what's being promoted today, gentlemen, is we've got liberalism, atheism, evolution, humanism, Islam, socialism, Marxism, as I entered the program, multiculturalism, diversity, tolerance, and we have a divided nation. And quite frankly, the 2016 election didn't help the division because that kind of seemed to further divide the nation. Not only that, but after the 2016 nation, Eric, we had witches praying for the demise of Donald Trump. You talk about a nation under attack.
Well, it's true. And you know, you were talking about what happened during the last 8 years under the other administration. And, you know, everything that we have just discussed that is going wrong here, all of that is accepted by those on the left and just not the left. I mean, the uber left, yes, has been doing this for a long time. But now this whole thing has become the left. And you think about the anarchy in the streets and all those type of issues. You know what it comes down to? And this is really this is a statement I never thought I'd make. I probably have more in common with Jehovah's Witnesses than I do the people on the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jehovah's Witnesses are so far afield from the truth doctrinally. But when you talk about looking at the country, looking at the way we raise our children, looking at what you consider absolute truth, whether it's absolute truth or not, but at least people believe in absolute truth who are in some of the cults, you think about that. On the left, it's now anything goes. There is no morality. There is no such thing as right and wrong. David has pointed this out wonderfully. He's given a great perspective that we all need to understand, but it's not what most people in the church want to hear. That's the problem. We need to be hearing it.
Okay, David, do you think that part of the problem that we have today is because the church is not engaging in some of these issues?
Absolutely. And I can sum it up by just pretty much explaining what many of your listeners already know, that we've been duped into believing that social issues are pretty much political issues, but they are moral issues. These are all moral mm-hmm. issues. You can find the answers to any problem or anything that we're talking about, these subjects. The answers, the truth, is in the Word of God, the Bible, that is inerrant and never changing in this ever-changing society. So we're duped by the fact that Christians say, well, I know that's a political issue. Maybe I shouldn't get involved in politics. That is an absolutely wrong mindset to have. But unfortunately, that's kind of been the accepted norm in a lot of churches. And I think that's changing a little bit as our backs are up against the wall, so to speak. In some of the areas, there's been a lot of progress where in the pro-life movement and in other areas. But this transgender agenda, this is the one that might get us, and we've really got to be prepared for this.
And I had Pastor Jack Hibbs online here with me a couple weeks ago, and he said the very same thing, and that the pastors and the churches are afraid to get involved for kind of the same issues that you have raised here. When I come back, David, I want to continue our discussion a little bit longer here. Again, the book is Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good. And I think all of my listeners understand, as we kind of opened the program that we are in an Isaiah 5:20 world where up is down, black is white, good is evil, evil is good. It's kind of an Alice in Wonderland world that's almost make-believe, but it's reality and we've got to deal with it. And how do we become salt and light? How do we remain salt and light and continue to delay the decay when the decay is so overwhelming? Sometimes I think we just throw our hands up and say, I give up. So we will have some answers for you as soon as I get back. Don't go away.
If you're looking for more resources on discerning the times in which we live, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. At olivetreeviews.org, you'll find archived radio programs, current news headlines, and you can sign up to receive a podcast of every broadcast we produce. Again, it's all there at olivetreeviews.org. To order your own digital recording of today's broadcast, phone 763-559-4444. For information on book titles written by Jan and Eric's guest today, visit David Ferrazzo's website at davidfiorazzo.com, davidfiorazzo.com. Thank you for tuning in. This program is a partnership between our media team and you. This is a listener-supported broadcast ministry. You can help us financially when you mail your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jan, Eric, and David will be right back, right after this.
Just a heads up here to save the date for Understanding the Times 2018. This year, we will gather at Grace Church just outside Minneapolis on Saturday, September 29th, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Speakers include Amir Sarfati from Israel, Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii, and Pastor Billy Crone from Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas. They will help you discern the times and make sense of today's chaotic headlines. They will help you see that today's headlines are not harbingers of doom, but rather signs of our redemption. That's Understanding the Times 2018, Saturday, September 29th, near Minneapolis, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll give you updates right here on this program, online at olivetreeviews.org, or through our print and e-newsletter. Save the date and don't be left behind. There's a quote in your book. You say, just because Christianity is not as popular in America as it once was does not mean it is not true. We are living in an ever-changing society in which feelings trump facts, relevance trumps repentance, and truth is being molded to fit current trends. People seem less informed, less secure, more distracted, and more confused about what is true than ever before.
Author and radio talk show host David Ferrazzo is the guest on today's Understanding the Times. David's new publication, Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good, is the springboard for this hour's conversation. Now let's rejoin Jan and co-host Eric Barger. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back again. I'm having a discussion with author, commentator, broadcaster David Fiorazzo. You can learn a lot more at davidfiorazzo.com. And we'll give the book title information as we kind of wind down things a little bit here. Remember, I like to stay in touch with you. And don't forget that all of our programming is posted to my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, Saturday morning, or you can just go get the oneplace.com app, and it'll come up for you every Saturday morning, oneplace.com or their app. I want to continue on with my discussion here with David Fiorazzo. I've got Eric Barger in studio with me. And one thing you said during the break, David, you talked a little bit about, I believe it was Webster's 1828 definition of truth, because David's new book is called Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good. What about the 1828 definition?
Thank you. Thank you. We know that words and meanings have been changed over the years and now redefined, and the 2016 Word of the Year for Oxford Dictionary happened to be post truth. So in other words, truth is just so yesterday, it's so old-fashioned, and now it's more about what people feel. Well, I found a fascinating definition of truth in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It says this: conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. We rely on the truth of the scriptural prophecy. Mm. Veracity, purity from falsehood. Why do I mention that? First of all, it mentions the truth of the scriptural prophecies in a dictionary definition about truth. Revelation 1, Jesus Christ is called the living one who has the keys of death and Hades, who was dead but now is alive forevermore. Well, Revelation 1:8, well, I immediately thought about this when I read this Webster's 1828 definition of truth. In Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is present and who was past and who is to come future, the Almighty. So Webster's was basically just following up the foundational pattern that the Bible, that Scripture already set, that Jesus Christ is, he is past, present, future. So I found that to be such a wonderful reminder and a refresher for us when we look at this concept or the definition of truth.
There's a quote in your book here, there's several that I want to cite here. You say, just because Christianity is not as popular in America as it once was does not mean it is not true. We are living in an ever-changing society in which feelings trump facts, relevance trumps repentance, and truth is being molded to fit current trends. And then you have another quote: people seem less informed, less secure, more distracted, and more confused about what is true than ever before. And why do you think that is?
Well, I think it starts with the church and biblical morality.
Okay.
I think it starts with us knowing the truth, because Jesus said, if you know the truth will set you free, but also living the truth, not just having the head knowledge, but being able to discern. That's what wisdom is, applying the knowledge that we have from God's word into our daily lives. That means being salt and light into our cultures and being able to be influences in a society, now a secular society, of course, but I think people get so far off track with things, lies and delusions and deception of the world, including cults and world religions. And that's just the growing influence of the secularism today, humanism. Just briefly want to mention Barna Research, which came up and said recently 59% of Christians say moral truth is absolute or that right and wrong depends on what an individual believes. That's just 59%. And so I also want to go to one other point here. What does it mean to be a Christian? So this now seems to vary depending on who you ask. You know, so what I've also learned is that Gallup came out with a poll that says, now these are all, we're talking about morality now. We're talking about things that are mentioned in the Bible. 72% of Americans, not just Christians, but Americans say divorce is morally acceptable. 67% say sex between unmarried persons, that's okay. But for professing Christians now, it's 41% that say cohabitation is morally acceptable. So this makes it confusing to a watching world when they're looking at a church or people that profess to be Christian, and they may be in the back of their minds have an idea what the Ten Commandments say or maybe what the Bible teaches from what they heard in the past. They have an idea about morality. They definitely have a conscience, but they're looking at Christians that are not only watering down the word, but conforming to culture. So this definitely impacts unbelievers as well.
You list a lot of, well, some general areas of emphasis that ensure a healthy society and say that the devil has been hard at work in our culture. And you've even got a whole chapter in here, How the Enemy Advances. And you refer to this Paul Harvey, who what he said back in 1965. I actually have the clip of that. And this guy was prophetic. I don't know if he intended to be prophetic, but he said some things that I think were stunning over 50 years ago. The quality is 1965 as well, and I apologize, but I think that his words of wisdom need to be heeded here.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here, talking to David Fiorazzo, Wisconsin. New book, Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good. David, and by the way, that was a 1965 clip of Paul Harvey, and you talked about that in your book.
Yes, very prophetic. My dad and I, my family, listened to Paul Harvey getting up on our AM radio, going to school in the 1970s. Every morning we'd listen to him, and he'd sign off by saying, Paul Harvey, good day. But I don't think Paul Harvey knew at the time. How could he know how prophetic that broadcast would be? Reminding us, John 10:10 says, Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And think about some of the people that have influenced our culture for the enemy. One of them, and I don't want to pick on Oprah, but she, with this current transgender movement that has gained so much ground. Remember back in 2008, a New Age promoter, Oprah, on her program, praised the first so-called pregnant man.
Yeah.
Remember that the hairy masculine woman that took steroids but still wanted to have a baby? So people were duped by this, and that agenda goes all the way back to 1952, we need to remember. But the battle continues. I mean, we look back at our history, people who have done some of the things that Paul Harvey was predicting and concerned about. I liked how he said praying to our Father, which art in Washington, mainly make, you know all about this, making government God, right, Jan?
Right.
Praying to God in government. But the devaluing of human life is one of the foundational concerns I have. And I did mention I'm thankful for some of the progress in the pro-life side of things, legislation and awareness. This young generation seems to be more pro-life than ever in our history because they have the technology now that they didn't have in 1973 when Roe v. Wade was passed. They have ultrasounds and sonograms, and they know what kind of a life it is in a mother's womb. But this pursuit of pleasure and selfishness, this is what drives the abortion movement. People who have sex, they get pregnant, and that's just praised. And we can look back at eugenicist and racist Margaret Sanger, who bragged about adultery and birth control. She coined the term birth control in the 1920s, I believe it was. But, you know, also people like atheist, homosexual, pedophile, Alfred Kinsey and his alleged research still has a wing, I believe, at Indiana University. Look at the 60s revolution that you're very familiar with, the Supreme Court decisions that affected education, that made abortion legal, and on and on and on. Now, marriage, of course, redefined marriage, which, by the way, we don't need to be redundant, but Jesus did define it. He said in Mark 10, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. And then he was quoting the Old Testament, and then he added himself, Jesus, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. What have we done? Not we, you and I, in the Christian community, but we've redefined the truth in America, and now we've redefined marriage thanks to the Supreme Court, and we're just kind of going along with it.
Yep.
So these are some of the things that Paul Harvey was alluding to. And so I'm very thankful for people like that who were trying to be truth tellers and trying to, in a way, he was a watchman of our culture, a cultural observer like I consider myself to be.
David, you've got a 300-page book here, and, yeah. and you've got a lot of problems outlined, and you've got some solutions outlined as well. And I think listeners sometimes hear a program like this, and they wonder, well, you know, is it too late? Can I do anything to turn the tide? And I think we need to spend a couple of minutes talking about that. I do think it's important that they know they can still be salt, light, and delay the decay.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I want to parenthetically insert, my plan was to write a short book.
yeah, but you don't know how to do that. I know.
Well, honest, I had a 185-page book, and then I took a break one night when I was going over it, and I ended up watching, my wife had this show on TV, Leah Remini, Scientology and
yeah.
the Aftermath. After I picked my jaw up off the floor after hearing the heartbreaking testimonies of those who left that cult and the mafia-like tactics
yes.
they employ, I decided to write that chapter, Seduced by Scientology, but as God would have it, I couldn't stop there, so that created a whole new section, the third section of my book, on world religions and cults, Islam, Mormonism, Buddhism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Freemasonry, Christian Science, New Age, Wicca. But I do want to get to the hope, Jan, because that's what people need to be reminded of as we confront and hopefully address some of these battles in our culture and country, that in the end, we know God wins. Yes, truth will always be under assault. Jesus Christ will always be a dividing line between two sides of eternity. Evil is being called good, and we're being tested. The body of Christ is being tested, but we just had talked to Todd Nettleton recently, Voice of the Martyrs,
mm-hmm.
and the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The more harsh persecution becomes, somehow God just seems to grow the church in times like that and strengthen the church. That really could happen in America, but basically, I just wanted to remind you guys, God will have the final say. Truth exists. Truth can be known. Truth is eternal. And our blessed hope in Christ
Amen.
Is an anchor of Amen. Our souls in these tumultuous times. So let's keep fighting the good fight, because we know the victory has already been won. And we just have to strive to be children walking in the truth as faithful and obedient believers.
Yeah, I don't want to let one thing go here, because in one of the bullet points you have, in particular the outline that your publicist provides, you talk about folks having the coexist bumper stickers, and I've seen them, everyone's seen them, and you say that idea is naive and basically a campaign against biblical Christianity. Why don't you explain what you mean there?
Sure, absolutely, and this will help people understand why I decided also to add that section on world religions and cults. It's got all these symbols in this coexist sticker.
Yes, it does.
Islam, pacifism, gay rights, Judaism, paganism, Taoism, Christianity, to spell out coexist. Christians, you probably shouldn't have this bumper sticker on your car,
yeah.
but think about the theory of evolution and the faith of atheism and humanism that's growing, while the fact creation and intelligent design are not really talked about. Just think about the fact that people are accepting that maybe all paths lead to the same God, or maybe all paths lead to heaven. That's a lie of the enemy. And just think about how we have kind of said, well, you know, we're all children of God. Well, no, all human beings are not children of God. We are created in the image of God, every human being. So the value of life is important. But we are not all people are children of God. And so that bumper sticker is basically against the exclusive claims, basically the truth. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, he presented himself as God. He made very clear claims throughout the Gospels, and Paul writes about it. So Christianity is the exclusive religion here. You know, these other ones, they believe in other things, but we're supposed to just basically coexist. And the idea of that bumper sticker is that they're all equal. We are all equal, all to be respected as possible truths or possible ways of salvation. And we know that that is, frankly, just not the truth. So the sticker is directed
yeah.
against Christians.
Against
but
Christians.
Poses no threat to the others.
Eric, you want to wrap things up? We've got a couple minutes.
You know, this the whole discussion here really just reflects the fact that the church has backed away from the scripture and it's not first anymore. And I think each one of us, we should evaluate ourselves regularly to see if we, number one, just don't say we believe the Bible, but actually are following what it says in its pages. Sadly, my generation, our generation, has decided that education could fix everything. And I can't for the life of me figure out what 4 years in an indoctrination program on atheism and evolution can do for a person. But we've decided that is the answer. Now the answer is for us to once again come back to the scripture. We may see dark days around us, but we still have a task as parents, grandparents, and of course as believers. And sometimes that task is inside the church doors. Sometimes it's outside. But if we believe the Bible, just understand we're going to be in a shrinking number. We are in a shrinking number. It will continue. That's not bad news, folks. That's a sign of Christ's return. And we just have to understand that's where we are. That's when we're living. This is the time that God has elected for us to be here. Let's do the very best we can while we still have opportunity.
Again, the book is Redefining Truth, Delusions of Replacing God and Calling Evil Good. It's our upside down world that we have today, folks. And we are called to be salt and light and delay the decay. I encourage you to check the book out. You can find it at Amazon.com. You can find a lot more information at DavidFiorazzo.com, DavidFiorazzo.com. And David, we'll do it again. I want to thank you for you standing for the truth, and you always do. However you're communicating, book or on media, on radio, you're standing for the truth, and I really, truly appreciate you doing so.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your ministry as well, and we've got to continue to take this stand because it's one worth taking.
Amen. We'll stay in touch. Thank you.
Thanks, Jan.
All right. Bye now.
Remember to order your own digital copy of today's edition of Understanding the Times. Phone 763-559-4444. Also, don't forget our Understanding the Times conference coming up this fall. Circle the date on your calendar, September 29, and plan to join us for this one-day special event. For more conference information, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Just one more reminder, this ministry is listener-supported. That means we depend on you to help keep this radio outreach on the air in your neighborhood. You can ensure that this broadcast continues to reach America with the inconvenient truth. You can help us by making a tax-deductible donation. Please mail your gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Coming up next, Jan Markell with the things she thought she would never see.
Thank you for being a part of the Understanding the Times radio family. I hear from many of you who long to hear the truth. Some of you do not have a home church, and others of you have lost friends and family because of your love of the truth. That's what this program tries to give out each week on almost 830 radio stations. Additionally, we had almost 2.5 million electronic downloads from our podcasting audience in 2017. You made that possible, and please consider doing the same in the new year. You can click and make a tax-deductible online donation at olivetreeviews.org or call us business hours, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can always send a tax-deductible check to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. If you do, we'll visit your home regularly in the new year, and we'll await his return together. This is Jan Markell. I'm so looking forward to speaking at Pastor J.D. Farag's Church, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii, Thursday, March 1st, 7 p.m., Sunday, March 4th, 8:30 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. So looking forward to meeting some of my Hawaii listeners. Again, March 1st and 4th, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe. Catch all messages given on YouTube after those dates.
Understanding the times in which we live keeps us prepared for the changes coming to our world. The Bible is clear that the last days will be full of deception, delusion, and corruption like the world has never known. Every week we deliver to you insights that discern our days and bring you hope. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Understanding the Times Radio continues, and this final segment, Jan Markell has some thoughts on how the world has changed. Here's Jan.
And welcome back. Remember, you can get a CD of any program. And remember, this program is posted to my website every Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org. I highly recommend you look into our mobile app. We use the mobile app found at oneplace.com. Now, what I want to do for the balance of the program, I remember some years ago, Dr. David Jeremiah had a sermon series that was titled that he just didn't think he would live to see the day. Well, I've come up with my own list here. I never thought I would see the day. And so I want to go through that list very, very quickly because we're at a time when up is down, black is white, evil is good, and we are challenged nonetheless to be salt and light and to delay the decay. And as I like to say, things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. Having said that, I never thought I would live to see the day with the earth reeling in an apocalyptic manner, yet most people going about business as usual, eating, drinking, and enjoying life. I never thought I would see the day when every natural disaster would be preceded by words such as unprecedented, history-making, or of biblical proportion. I never thought I'd see the day that a hurricane, think back on Irma, was so strong that it was measured on a device that tracks earthquakes. I never thought I'd live to see the day that a major U.S. newspaper would say, quote, someday everyone will willingly get microchipped. This was in USA Today. It says simply, you will get chipped. It's just a matter of time. They go on to say, in the aftermath of a Wisconsin firm embedding microchips in employees to ditch company badges and corporate logins, the internet has entered into full-throated debate that would be a debate about how willingly everyone will get microchipped eventually. I never thought I'd live to see the day that Planned Parenthood would team up with Satanists and cooperate in their mutual evil. Fox News reported that Planned Parenthood teamed up with a bunch of Satanists in Missouri, and Missouri has reportedly doubled its abortion capacity this year thanks to the Satanic Temple. So we are known by the company we keep. This is quite an indictment on the abortion industry now that they have yoked with such darkness. So I'm going to move on here. I never thought I would see the day that some people would heed the warning signs of impending natural disasters, but they would scoff at the ultimate warnings that Jesus is returning soon and they must be ready. Oh, I know the Bible says there will be scoffers in the last days, but I must admit, they really get me down sometimes, and their pushback and their mocking is getting so intense and even obnoxious, and some of it comes from our pulpits, particularly as it pertains to Christ's return. Well, I never thought I'd see the day that America would seriously talk about the possibility of an EMP attack and that Hawaii would live under the threat of nuclear attack daily. I mean, forget about the false alarm that happened this winter in Hawaii. Almost all of the free world is now in jeopardy thanks to foolish politicians allowing rogue regimes to have nukes. We can trust them, these foolish leftists keep telling us. We can trust the North Koreans, we can trust the Iranians, and we can trust the Russians. Are you kidding me? We'll make them an offer they can't refuse, and we'll at least give peace a chance. This is strong delusion, and I never thought I would see the day. Never thought I'd see the day when over 40% of Americans would say they would prefer socialism over capitalism. You know, these people really need to take a one-way visit to Venezuela, where every necessity in life is missing in this socialistic non-paradise, where zoo animals are being eaten because there is no food in this so-called paradise. Never thought I'd see the day 40% of Americans say they would prefer socialism over capitalism. Moving on, never thought I'd see the day when actors in Central Park would simulate the assassination of a U.S. president. Imagine if a conservative playhouse had presented a drama depicting the assassination of Barack Hussein Obama. That actually stretches the imagination beyond capacity, particularly because Christians and conservatives simply don't plot such evil. But actors in Central Park killed President Trump over and over last summer. I didn't think I'd ever see the day. I didn't think I'd live to see the day that satanic outfits would be granted IRS tax-exempt status while Christians and conservatives would be overlooked and completely ignored. I didn't think I'd live to see the day that a leader of the Catholic Church in South America would state that he did this, folks. Pope Francis is paving the way for the Antichrist. An ultra-conservative university and television network director fell out of grace with Colombia. That's the nation of Colombia in South America. The Catholic Church, after he made the statement that he felt that Pope Francis was paving the way for the Antichrist. I didn't think I'd live to see a Catholic make such an accusation of Pope Francis. Protestants have long wondered if a pope might play an apocalyptic role in the last days. I didn't think I'd live to see the day a major U.S. newspaper, the Washington Post, would call Satan good and call him a great representation of secularism. The Washington Post did that last summer, last August. It doesn't get any stranger than this, but they called Satan a good representative for secularism. I didn't think I'd see the day when there'd be a discussion of womb transplants for men. I didn't think I'd see the day when preschoolers would be lectured by a demonic horned creature that you really need to see, folks, being lectured that transgenderism is normal. You have to see it to believe it, because you also see the parents of these little four-year-olds and how excited they are that their little children are being exposed to diversity. All of this took place in a library in California, then quickly spread across the country. I didn't think I'd live to see the powertainment industry, that's Hollywood, be so weakened to scandals that its influence is diminishing as people boycott films in disgust. I didn't think I'd live to see the day that the son of a Hamas leader, who is now a Christian, Mossab Youssef, would tell the United Nations that Palestinian leaders are a bunch of terrorists.
My name is Mossab Hassan Youssef. I grew up in Ramallah as a member of Hamas. I addressed the words to the Palestinian Authority, which claims to be the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinian people. I ask, where does your legitimacy come from? The Palestinian people did not elect you, and they did not appoint you to represent them. You are self-appointed. Your accountability is not to your own people. This is evidenced by your own total violation for their human rights. In fact, the Palestinian individual and their human development is the least of your concerns. You kidnap Palestinian students from campus and torture them in your jails. You torture your political rivals. The suffering of the Palestinian people is the outcome of your selfish political interest. You are the greatest enemy of the Palestinian people. If Israel did not exist, you would have no one to blame. Take responsibility for the outcome of your own actions. You fan the flames of conflict to maintain your abusive power. Finally, you use this platform to mislead the international community, to mislead the Palestinian society, to believe that Israel is responsible for the problem you create.
Well, that was Mossab Youssef telling off the Palestinians at the United Nations, telling them, you know what, you're a bunch of terrorists. Mossab Youssef, now a Christian. I never thought I'd see the day when that would happen at the United Nations. I never thought I'd see the day that the Boy Scouts would allow girls to join the organization. I never thought I'd see the day when there'd be word of revival in North Korea. And look what they have to go through, folks. And maybe that's what the church needs in America as well. Never thought I'd see the day when Rick Warren would state that he hoped his partnership with a Catholic leader would become the ecumenical model for the entire world. Pastor Warren, be careful. Ecumenicity is not really recommended in the Bible. It will be a false flag in the last days. I never thought I'd see the day when K through 12 U.S. educators would blatantly demonize Israel and laud Islam. I never thought I'd see the day when the return of the bubonic plague would happen, as has happened in the year 2017. And I never thought I'd see the day when I would get daily scoldings, people protesting my pre-trib rapture timing theology. And the pre-trib timing of the rapture is biblical, folks. You would think it's a false teaching perpetrated by uneducated fools with an escapist mentality. I just didn't think I'd live to see the day with all the scoldings I get. You know, a prominent secular talk show host said we live in interesting times. They're too interesting. He said he longs to go back to the 1950s. He doesn't understand that the last days will be characterized by a departure from the normal and an acceleration of the aberrant. He cannot grasp the fact that the Bible predicted a lot of what our headlines state today. It's all falling into place, folks. It's all falling into place. All that's left to say is, are you ready to meet the King? Should he return today? Do you want to escape the tempest of the tribulation and the fires of hell? Won't you surrender your life to Jesus Christ today? Make him the Lord of your life. Turn your life around. Turn from your wicked ways. Make him your Savior, since he came to be the Savior of the world. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phoning 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.